This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
We've got Matt Wade in the studio, but g'day, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
But I just thought while we've still got Steve here, we might actually just debrief that conversation because it's the first time we've had a Green senior Liberal in here for quite some time. Not for lack of trying, of course. We have tried. You know, it is very interesting to see what they're doing, especially in some targeted seats. So I wasn't surprised when Samantha said she was in Brunswick and she's on the way to Northcote.
She's on the tram.
And then she'll be on to Perham.
She'll be on the tram.
No, she'll be on a bike.
Well, I think...
It'll have a sail too. It'll be wind-powered bike.
I think she'll probably end up in Richmond.
Yes.
Now, you've got some insights into what's happening in Richmond as well, Matt, haven't you?
Yeah, that's actually my area. That's where I live. So I was there earlier this morning voting, of course. But it's a bit of a contentious area, particularly for the Greens in the lower house. I know there are a number of Greens voters actually who are travelling from interstate today to encourage people not to vote for the Greens in the lower house.
Wow.
Purely because of Kathleen Maltzand's previous stance and likely current on sex workers. So yeah. Previously she's been quite outspoken about the Nordic model, which basically criminalises the clients of sex workers as opposed to sex workers themselves, despite the fact that for years now, Amnesty International, human rights organisations and sex workers around the world have said that that's quite damaging to them because it pushes them further underground and puts them in dangerous positions. Interestingly, in May this year, Kathleen actually did a bit of a 180 and said that she would vote in line with her party's position on sex work if that were to come up around the Nordic model. But weeks later, again, she said that she still backs it. So
like Lee Rhiannon, you know, she can change her mind like, you know, her linen.
So, Steve, what do you think? Are the Greens losing their fig leaf?
I don't think the Greens ever had a fig leaf, Tass. I mean, Samantha jumps on and claims to be pure on dirty politics. I mean, I was not persuaded in relation to the issue that Macca raised around Richmond. I think she is all over that. I think she knows about it, and I think she's struggling to defend this purest line that we continue to hear from the Greens about rising above politics. I mean, give me a break. They are as grubby as they come. And I think one thing, Tass, that I'd say is, and this is really important, I mean, this is going to be a close election. I do think Labor will pull through. I'm really hoping
You said
that.
Majority earlier on, though.
Close. No. Two or three seats makes for a close election, but a majority nonetheless. But, you know, people should be under no illusion today that a vote for the Greens risks a Matthew Guy coalition government because, you know, in these critical seats, the ones that Samantha referred to, whether it's Richmond or Brunswick or Northcote, which obviously Kat Theophanes is trying to take back from Linda, or over in Paran with Neil, where I've just been. You know, if Labor is not able to at least retain or win back some of these seats, there is every chance that we will see Matthew Guy as the next Premier, and that is bad for our community.
So, Matt Wade, so how's this interstate, the Greens from interstate, how is this manifesting itself in Richmond? Is there a scrag fight going on outside the polling booth? Like, what's
charming language, Macca.
Okay, well, you know, a robust debate then.
I guess it's just essentially in the weeks leading up to the state election and prior to that really, a lot of people have been kind of holding this particular area to account around sex work because obviously it affects some of the most marginalised in our community. It affects people in the LGBTI community, of course.
Yep.
So a number of Greens voters have, I guess, joined forces, so to speak, online. And the idea is, and I know some of them personally, that are travelling from Sydney or Brisbane or wherever to station themselves outside of different Richmond voting centres to encourage people not to vote for Kathleen specifically. I imagine they still, Upper House is different, but for Kathleen, yeah. So
that's
extraordinary.
Yeah. You know,
because what we've seen in this election and this, you know, this whole thing about the one current and the one retired academic campaigning, or, you know, saying, planning academics that they don't support Dick Wynne, yet they write a letter which they print, and it's printed from the same address as Kathleen's office. Yet the leader of the Greens knows nothing about this.
Mm. It's a bit odd.
It's a bit strange.
Like, so Richmond, you know, is going to be is a real battleground. We know Brunswick is. It hasn't been in the news as much. Richmond is a battleground. It's about planning. Mm. But to have Greens coming from interstate...
Mm. Yeah, to be frank, and I imagine, I mean, a lot of people that are lining up today, if they were to see Greens people essentially telling them not to vote Greens, I mean, that doesn't obviously instill a lot of trust or confidence.
No, so I don't have to take
even aside from the sex worker issue, I just think seeing that isn't...
Well, Matt, can I just say, if you know any of your interstate Greens friend, let them know I've got a spare room at my house. They can hang out till the next federal election. You know? Like, absolutely, we could have the Melbourne Port, you know? Anyway, let's chat offline about that. I reckon we're onto something.
Matt,
Now, hang on, here's a message from a listener. He said, don't vote Green in Richmond because of Kathleen Moultzahn's views on sex workers. It killed my support.
I think this listener has generally been a Green supporter.
Yes,
am I right about that?
Says that, yes, I think you're right.
Thank you, Rodney.
In terms of, you know, reporting, you know, what we've received is we've never seen the funding commitments.
Mm.
Towards our community and joy that we've seen in this election, but there are some pretty significant differences in policy when you look outside that.
What's your analysis of that, Matt?
In terms of funding or policy?
Well, because the two are actually intertwined in many respects. I mean, at one end, you're throwing sort of money, and at the other end, you're sort of like, you know, what's your thinking behind this, and what are you actually really committing to?
How do you preference a far-right independent rat bag?
Oh, of course,
In Buninyong. I mean, you know, talk about this candidate, if their brains were dynamite, they couldn't part their hair.
Oh, and what about the anti-Muslim in Yan Yean?
Yeah, I mean,
it goes on.
You know, how does that, you know...
It's interesting because, I mean, of course we've reported on the different parties' positions in terms of what they're hoping to offer policy and funding-wise.
Yes.
And some of the things that I guess people have shared the most amongst our readers, at least, have been, I guess, the obvious things like Victorian Labor's commitment to back a Melbourne Pride event and things like this. But when it comes to actual policy, whether it's Liberals, Labor, Greens, whatever, I feel like a lot of people maybe aren't interrogating that as much as they perhaps should be. Like, they kind of look at monetary figures or see big, bold gestures like Melbourne Pride and think, oh, this is great, like, perfect. But they're not necessarily, engaging with some of the more underhanded things. Like, obviously, I'm pretty sure that... did you guys interview the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby last week?
We did.
Yeah, so, of course, they did the survey for all the different parties, which was great and really informative. But it was just very telling, I guess, of course, you know. The Reason Party, I believe, fared quite well on a lot of different issues. Labor did quite well as well. But for Liberals, for example, I mean, I think most of the things that they were put forward to them, they didn't actually acknowledge at all. So
they didn't actually answer them either.
Well, that's what I mean. It's easy for the Liberals, for example, and again, it's great, obviously, that they've committed to providing funding for joy in places like that. But I guess it's interesting, like, putting money, like, I think $3 million or something towards HIV rapid testing, things like this. But when it comes to the actual issues that people are accounting, just silence. I mean, I think that speaks louder.
I heard a commentator the other day argue that what's occurred is that we've had good support from the Liberals for the L and G components of our rainbow sort of community.
Yeah, the BTIs missing.
And the BTIs have missed out. Labor has been a lot better at that because they've talked about things like birth certificates. They've talked about real support, mental health support, family support. Mm-hmm. This is right across the... So what's your take on that?
Well, that's the thing as well. It's interesting because even with, obviously, the debate around religious freedoms, I'm pretty sure, again, with the lobby's survey, that incorporated a part of that conversation as well. And, of course, when people are talking about ensuring there's no discrimination against people in faith-based schools and places like this, they focus on same-sex attracted people, but oftentimes trans people or intersex people are left out of that conversation. So
they're thrown off and under the bus.
Yeah. So I just recall, I mean, obviously when I was reading through that report, that the Reason Party, I could be incorrect, but were one of the only people, I guess, or parties that specifically referenced the forced sterilization of, like, intersex bodies and things like this. And it's interesting that often, as much as, again, as I mentioned earlier, these big gestures and funding for the community are great, if they're not actually interrogating the smaller marginalized communities like sex work as well in Richmond, then it's not full equality. So
Now, really quickly, TGA has postponed its decision on poppers.
Oh, yes.
Until next year.
Yes.
So the campaign that's
been
run...
Is that till after the federal election? Or
no, well,
next
as far as I'm
year?
Aware, they haven't actually clarified a date. However, their plan is during January to hold public, I guess, meetings for people to come along and speak.
That's good. It's a good outcome.
Yeah, I think so as well. I actually think they probably didn't anticipate the level of community response when they first made that interim decision. I think they received around 40 different responses from different community advocates, health advocates, experts. And so I think they've thought, this is obviously something we can't just make a decision on in such a short space of time. So I guess let me see what the outcome is in the coming months. But I know that at the moment, aside from some public consultations in January, beyond that, I'm not sure. So hopefully, it might be before the federal election, to be honest. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good outcome and well done to, to Star Observer, really making that a big issue.
I know that, it's one of those things where, obviously some people might dismiss it as, it's just kind of like a fun party thing that people use, but it's been such a kind of staple in our community for such a long time. Yeah. And I think a lot of the arguments that were put forward against it, I guess in pushing towards it being classified among things like heroin, kind of unfounded, they were saying that perhaps...
There's no evidence. There's no evidence to back any
and
of
And the
that.
Evidence that does exist is quite weak. Like, for example, suggesting that it can cause a vision loss and things like this. Like, there were doctors and health experts that submitted to the TGA and said the example of that happening was in the UK when the substance within poppers was actually banned. So banning it actually...
Yeah.
Leads to things like that.
I take a slightly different view on this. It is a staple of the community and, it's a part of the community's culture, but I do worry a little bit about some of the health impacts among younger people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm at the risk of sounding old and boring. But
with poppers?
With poppers, that's right.
I'm going to challenge you again. Mm-hmm. Show us the evidence, because I'm yet to see the evidence, and the evidence that's been brought forward where there has been a death and there's been some injury.
Of course, you'll have to pour it up your nose.
Has been with people who've actually.
Yeah, people who do that.
Who's drunk us. Yeah. So, I would challenge you, show us the evidence, because I'm not an advocate for poppers. All I'm saying is I think that our policies should be scientifically driven. They should be evidence informed and driven.
That we agree on, and we should.
And I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that we agree on. We should always take the advice of experts. Here. However, I think about young, members of our community who come out when they're teenagers. Mm. They wander into a sex store. They have access to these products. There's no regulation around that. I don't know who looks after that. Mm. And, if one of my kids were to grow up and be gay and walk into a sex store, I'd be really worried about that as a parent. And that's not me trying to be a naysayer. It's just meaning that, I do think we need to get it right, because at the end of the day, I get it's part of our community culture, but health always has to come first.
That's an important point as well. And I actually believe, in about a week's time, the TGA is going to release a preliminary, a report suggesting different methods of access that can be considered in this decision. So hopefully, it can... I completely agree. I think if people are going to use it... some of those health accusations are not necessarily completely founded, but, it obviously needs to be accessed in a safe way.
I know, perhaps Professor Lewis... He's an expert on planning. Perhaps he's got some views on animal.
Maybe they've written a letter about it. Who knows?
We've got a comment here. I think that you should reflect on Peter from Thornbury's comments.
Okay. He says, good morning. You're bagging the Greens is really biased. Well, not bagging them, simply talking about what they've said and what they've done. How about the Liberals being so gutless they aren't putting a candidate up in Richmond? Yes. Now, we raised that with Michael Kroger directly. And he acknowledged that there's nowhere for Liberal voters to go in Richmond. They hadn't even got their how-to-vote card, so he didn't know whether it was going to be Australian Conservatives or the Liberal Democrats or, who knows. We're not sending out to bag the Greens. We've given them airtime. We've asked them some questions. Unfortunately, they couldn't answer them.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.